Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, we're 1 week away from the draft.
I'm ready.
1 week away. We're going to hear from Nick Caserio at 11 o'clock. What will he say? I think it's going to be processes, all that type of stuff. We'll hear. We'll
take the information, process it.
Hey, wait a minute. Don't make them sound like a buzzkill.
It's all about making your team better.
I am as up for this as I've been all draft season. Don't make him sound like a buzzkill.
It's all about making your team better. Nah, he's feeling it, man. We'll see how it goes. I'm very excited to hear what he has to say, Nick Caserio. Astros yesterday. I don't even know. Like, do we have to kick people in the nuts and tell them that the Astros are in a weird spot? 6-14. I'm more excited about Justin Verlander tomorrow and just seeing what he's got. I mean, that's really, I'm gonna look ahead. I'm gonna take this first 1/8 of the season and I'm going to put it to the side. Justin Verlander's up. They sent down Forrest Chump. So Forrest Chump is down. Run, Forrest, run back to minor leagues where you belong. He's gone and we'll get to watch Verlander tomorrow. I'm just gonna sit here and appreciate it. It is what it is.
I get it. But you're telling me that the most exciting part of the baseball team here in Houston right now is an injured, ailing 41-year-old
yes.
starter?
Yes, I am. That
yikes.
That is exactly what I'm saying.
Life comes at you fast as hell, man. Because, I mean, I can't disagree with you. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
I can't disagree with you. But at the same time, what a sad, sad, sad place to be. And then also with me and Verlander, like, I'm not sure if that's enough. We talked to Spo yesterday, and he mentioned – like, yeah, he's gonna come out there and more than likely give you a quality start, give you, you know, a professional outing or something like that is how he worded it. But is that enough? Like, is that enough to even, like, I know that helps, but they're so bad right now. They're so disjointed. They've got so many different holes and ailments throughout their roster, how it's constructed and how they're playing
so
right
you're
now.
You're doing it.
I don't know
you're
if that's going to be enough.
You're doing it. You're kicking people in the nuts.
Huh? I just don't want to give them false hope. Like, hey, Justin Verlander, 41-year-old ailing Justin Verlander gets here.
It's more about just enjoying it.
Yeah,
we'll enjoy. It's not about anything other than enjoying what Justin Verlander once was, what he's done for you, all that type of stuff. It's not about, oh, yeah, this is a real reason for hope. That's where we are.
But all the other times when we've enjoyed the Justin Verlander experience, we weren't talking about being at the very bottom of the AL West standings. We weren't talking about being the second
yeah,
worst
you're doing
team
it. You're doing it, B. Scott.
In all of the American
yeah,
League.
You're doing it.
Hate to spit that real.
Yeah, just
hate to spit that real to y'all.
Let him be. 6-14. That's where we are.
You know, how about I just tell
and by the way
that to look at the back of the baseball cards and everything will be okay.
Oh, yeah, which
maybe
yeah,
that's what I should do.
Yeah, and that manager they got is the biggest puppet that this town has had since David Culley.
Not a great moment.
He sucks.
Not a great moment.
The thing is that he might not have a roster to work with, but even if he did, they would be fighting an uphill battle because he's a puppet. Puppet. Hell, I wouldn't be surprised if Jeff Bagwell was a part of the process of bringing him in. He's a puppet. This Joe Espada guy, yeah. Not great.
Part of the process of hiring Joe Espada? Jeff Bagwell?
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. Of course he was.
Yeah, there you go.
That's so, the brain trust.
That's it right there. And he's repeating the company line, talking about the back of the baseball card. Unbelievable. So we have that. We have the draft a week away. Nick Caserio going to speak. Texans, no first-round pick. This is an interesting draft because I really don't know if listing needs is even a necessity at this point, especially without a first-round pick. I almost think you have to reevaluate after day one and figure out what the hell am I going to do? Because you're at the mercy of day one. You got to sit back and watch. Listing needs for me is not even a necessity until after. And then you can see what the opportunities are and all that. But like normally you'll list three needs. I'm not to the point where I'm even worried about listing needs until day one concludes in a week.
Well, I thought that immediately after they traded out of the first round, even before Stephon Diggs became part of the equation, I figured, hey, if you follow what people are saying about the draft, they'll say, hey, it's somewhat top heavy with some guys that could be stars, but then throughout it, it's just a bunch of like decent players. Like I don't know if you needed to necessarily even be in the first round to get a good player. That to me is what the trade told me initially, and I still think that. So, I'm not as focused on need as much as I'm focused on, you hear them talk about value. What's the value for the type of players that you're going to be able to find in that second round, day two, day three? The depth of the draft is the more fascinating part, which, maybe that's not as fun for a lot of people. They want to just see the big top names, but I think specifically for the Texans, the depth of the draft is what's going to be most fascinating.
Yeah, the depth.
Like they'll be able to get good players past the second round, more than likely.
Well, I also think there's a certain amount of trust now that wasn't the case a year ago where you're not necessarily pounding the table because it took a very short time for the Texans to earn trust and earn the benefit of the doubt. And I think on the other hand, if we want to connect it to the previous best team on town, it took very short time for them to ruin trust. I mean, and that's where the Astros are right now. I mean, you got some guy walking around being baseball hardo and talking about why he likes Abreu and baseball cards. And now here you are with the manager that's saying the same thing that thing was saying. So I think it's taken a short time for the Texans. I mean, I say short. I mean, obviously there was a process and there was a lot of distrust. But I don't trust the Astros right now, and I trust the Texans. And it's amazing where they've come in a short time.
Think about it. Why would you trust them at this point? Like, we get the success that they've had. We all have been here to experience it. We understand the background. But why? Like, this is back-to-back off seasons now that have either been botched or at the very least questionable on how they were handled. And we talk about Bagwell. He's the face of it. But it's not even like it's just Jeff Bagwell. Jim Crane right now has a brain trust of old fogey baseball players that are influencing the decisions and the folks that are actually supposed to be the decision makers. You use the word puppet, but I would say figureheads. They feel like figureheads.
Listen,
right now.
Listen to Jeff Bagwell. This was after Abreu was signed, and this is him explaining to you why this is such a great move.
I'm just a voice of how I see baseball and how I see the other things in baseball that just aren't numbers. Numbers are important, don't get me wrong, but there's other things that matter, and that's part of the reason why Jose is a perfect fit.
Okay, thanks, sir. Then when the struggles happened, he said, look at the baseball card. And then yesterday, this was a low point. I think Ari Alexander asked the question. This was Joe Espada. Keep in mind, Jeff Bagwell said that Jose Abreu was going to be fine because you could look at the back of the baseball card. Said about Montero. Here was Joe Espada yesterday being asked by KPRC why he's confident that Jose Abreu is going to be good.
History, the back of his baseball card.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks, Puppet. Thanks, Puppet. Tell Kermit and Miss Piggy I said hey. Here's my question, though.
So bad.
Because we had a big sample size of what Jose Abreu was last year, and there were warning signs. and it killed momentum, and I think the spirit of the Astros has been crushed by it. Is there anything that the Texans could ignore that would put them in position, maybe not this costly, but put them in position to ignoring something that they had like a whole sample size of last year and they just decided to roll with it? I'll start with Damian Pierce and Jalen Petrie, because Damian Pierce last year was unplayable. Unplayable. Like, that's not me making something up. Like, they couldn't play him. They didn't trust him. Jalen Petrie got benched at one point. Is it possible that the Texans, as they head into the draft, that they perhaps ignore those types of things and we find ourselves, what are we, 1/8 into the season, so a couple games into the Texans season, we find ourselves saying, damn, maybe we should have taken into account what we saw in 2023 and it could have prevented us from deja effing vooing in 2024.
The names you mentioned off top were Damian Pierce and Jalen Petrie. That didn't surprise me, but I thought another one was coming. I thought a different one was coming. I'll throw at you. Titus Howard. You know, like, to me, that's one. I think last year is actually an example of it more so than anything, and it's something to put a pin in for next year, because I know you and Lopez and many others have their questions on, like, how good of a player is this exactly, especially since, you know, they had him playing out of position for as long as they did last year. But to me, last year is an example. Him playing guard, it's not like we had never seen him play guard before. He had done that before and not been good, and they still thought it wise to put him there, or that he was their most versatile offensive lineman and could actually play there. And to me, that it's just a blind spot. That would be one. It ain't the football card. I don't know. It can't be tape. I don't know exactly what it is that makes them think that, his size or what. But this idea that Titus Howard is anything but a tackle, that for me has to end. Like, we've got to be done with it. Got to be done with that. Like, if Titus Howard is, you know, for whatever reason not good enough to still play tackle, then you need a new tackle. If you don't have the left guard situation figured out, it ain't Titus Howard as the answer. You need to figure out something else at left guard. Like, that to me feels like a blind spot for them.
Yeah, I don't think you can base it on investment.
Oh, and I hope they don't.
Yeah, I don't either, but I always hear people bring up the investment thing, and it's like, man, that should matter. Especially on a team like this where there's no significant salaries, but the investment doesn't matter. I mean, I do think it matters with Abreu. I do think the fact they're paying him damn near $20 million, I do think that has some reasoning on top of not really building much depth. But yeah, there it is. On the text line, 281, Landry, you really don't like him, huh? Why the hell would I like Joe Espada? Like, honestly, like, even if you just want to not have, like, a strong opinion on it, why would I like Joe Espada?
He was a likable dude before that comment yesterday. He's a nice guy. I told you that earlier.
What's likable about him?
I told you, he's a nice guy.
Who gives a damn?
I'm just saying.
Did you like David Culley?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I liked him a lot.
Yeah, I'm just basing him on performance. Like, why?
Well, that's different.
What's there to like about Joe Espada? Why would you like him? What's so good about Joe Espada?
Yeah. Nice guy.
He interviewed with some squads. That's sick. How many hired him? How many jobs did he get offered?
You didn't like him before he had coached a damn game. So
I don't like lazy hires. I don't like lazy hires. I'm not a fan of that. I support.
But that would also be a Jim Crane / Astros brain trust issue.
I support being proactive. I support being proactive. That's what I support. I support proactive adjustments, proactive stuff. But why would I like Joe Espada? What's there to like? He's cool. He's nice. That's cool. I don't need a nice guy.
The people in the clubhouse like him.
Okay. I'm sure they do. I like my substitute teacher that comes in and I can spit wads all day too and read my comic book. I love that. I mean, have you ever heard someone in school say, yeah, I hate that. Oh, damn, we got that substitute. We got Mr. Johnson coming in looking like Poindex going up to the class and spit wads and notes are being passed around and I'm not getting my work done and I fail a test because the guy doesn't get me ready.
I mean, you explaining
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you like that guy.
Yeah.
You do.
That's what Joe Espada is.
So, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Likeable dude. Yeah. Likeable dude. But 6-14, repeating.
Baseball card.
Repeating tired-ass tropes about, like, the base. You know what bothered me most about it? It's not even that he repeated it. But the fact that he repeated it shows that he didn't.
That's a talking point.
Or that he didn't think that was just as ridiculous as the rest of us. You know, like, I don't know if he's been ordered to regurgitate that. But the fact that he would means that he either has been ordered to, or he just simply thought that that was a dope line. And it ain't. It ain't, dude. Like, that hit for you?
Baseball card.
That troubles me.
That's the new It All Matters for me. And I bringing it full circle. The Texans, whenever they were at their lowest point, and the Astros aren't going to get that low, I don't think. And if they do, it's going to be a few years away. But when the Texans were at their lowest point, they had some bald, sociopathic, schematic POS wandering around putting TJ Maxx signs all over the place, doing things and then wiping his hands of it, having his cake and eating it too, having other guys take the fall. Like, I'm talking about Joe Espada right now. It all started with Bagwell and Crame. And his thing was, it all matters. He had it on the scoreboard. And really what it all matters really meant is, I can say that it all matters because the most significant things that I'm screwing up, I can blame other people. That's what the baseball card thing is now. It's not, and here's the thing about a baseball card, and I think this is the most symbolic thing about the Astros. And we'll get into the Texans. Should wide receiver be in play? What wide receivers would be worth taking at 42? We'll get into that in a sec. But here's the reality, and this is why the baseball card thing is kind of symbolic of where the Astros were at. Because there's no denying what the Astros have done for us recently. But that's the past.
Yeah.
When you look at a baseball card, it's telling you about the past.
Yeah.
It's not telling you about the future. It's telling you about the past.
And they were also popularized in a time where you didn't always have real-time stats that could tell you about the present and help you predict the future.
And that's the thing that is wild is did Joe Espada go buy a box of 2023 Tops and just completely ignore the 2023 season? Like, what baseball did he get the baseball card before? Is this the pack that they handed out on opening day last season?
Dude, you joking, but you're hitting on something.
No, I'm just saying. Like where's
no real talk? Honestly, when Jeff Bagwell said it, I thought it was just a talking point. It was just like a throwaway line. Like, we laughed at it. We were like, that, you know, that's weird. Whatever. But now that Joe Espada has repeated it, now I've got the visual. Like, I'm just picturing them with a laminated baseball card just going through their damn baseball card book. Like that's the picture I have now. Just like Joe Espada, Jim Crane, and Jeff Bagwell, and Reggie Jackson just in a room flipping through baseball cards. That's what's running your team right now.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. It
sucks. It's not fun. Coming up next, wide receiver. When does wide receiver make sense? At 42, you look at it now, you think it looks good, but wide receiver, a few names to keep an eye on when it comes to the Texans potentially adding even more talent at the wide receiver position next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Biggie, let's hit him big time. Let's get in the loop.
All the jokes are coming fast and furious every time y'all talk about this guy.
With Landry Locker.
Landry, I mean, you're going to be in midday forever now.
And John Lopez.
On occasion, Lopez makes a statement that's so ludicrous, it makes me pick my phone up and call you guys.
You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader.
Your champ, 610.
Sports Radio 610.
Is wide receiver a possibility for the Houston Texans? Could they be drafting a wide receiver at 42? If you look at the depth at wide receiver, just for the upcoming season, you might say that that's crazy. But is there a scenario for you where at 42, whether it's someone sliding, whatever, is there a scenario for you where drafting a wide receiver would make sense for the Texans?
Not just a scenario. I just think that flat out, it does make sense. And it's not, for me, it has just as much to do about the supply, the field, you know, what's going to actually be there as it does the demand. Like, the demand is underrated, and you just illustrated it. Like, they've got receivers, 1 through 3. Hell, yeah, I'd even say 1 through 4. If you want to throw Noah Brown in there as your fourth receiver, I think that's strong. I feel like that can rival any other in the league if it's not the best. Maybe it is. But you got to keep in mind that Noah Brown, Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, all of these guys are short-timers for now. Until you hear about an extension or something else develops, they are on this team just for this year. So what's the long-term play? How do you plan around or for their potential departures? And it's a lot of dudes that's going to be available to you that I think are reasonable to pick at 42. You can talk about all the other needs around the team, but this is probably an underrated need and an obvious issue here of supply. There's just so many receivers here for you to pick from.
I think if we just look at what's going on in the league and what happens in the league, it seems like every other year that there seems to be a urgent slash proactive attempt to not pay wide receivers top dollar. Like every year you see, like that's where you see guys become elite. And then all of a sudden, as soon as they're getting paid, they're gone. They get traded. We've heard the Tyreek Hill example, Devontae Adams. There's talk about Jefferson and Lamb now. And there's theories that you just can't pay both of them. There's also like an influx of talent at wide receiver because teams are throwing the ball more. It's a position where it's not like running back where you're using maybe one or two a game in a perfect world. I mean, there's games where four wide receivers are making significant plays that help you win games. And when you factor in injuries and you push them up the depth chart, it just kind of increases. So I don't think if you just told me that the world was going to end as soon as the Texans season ended this year. If you told me that this is the last year of football ever, maybe you could convince me to eliminate the possibility of drafting a wide receiver. But given the fact that we don't believe that to be the case, given the fact that that's where we're at, I don't think you can ever, and I don't think you should ever, eliminate the possibility of drafting a wide receiver, especially if, let's say, a Ladd McConkey, Adonai Mitchell, some people like Xavier Worthy. I'm not as high on him, but if he falls to 42, then you definitely got to consider that. I don't think with how the NFL is and with what teams are doing, I don't think you should ever. There's some positions you can eliminate, but I don't think you should ever eliminate the possibility of drafting a wide receiver in today's NFL.
Yeah, I would agree with that, but I would also point out the specific and very like special scenario that the Texans have right now on having not just a quarterback on a rookie deal, quarterback that you haven't paid yet, but a quarterback you legit believe in, like a quarterback you legit believe is already either elite or has elite traits, the ability to become elite. However you stand on CJ Stroud, it's a damn positive feeling. So it's like, what has been a lot of the narrative and discussion that we've had throughout this offseason, whether it be free agency or the draft, hey, let's lean into building around these cornerstone players who are still relatively cheap compared to how productive they are. On the defensive side, with Will Anderson, we talked about that. Hey, man, let's get as many ballers around Will Anderson as you possibly can, especially while you don't have to pay him top dollar yet. and CJ Stroud to like an even greater degree. It's like, hey, why not, while you're in the position to do so, before you have to do the thing that you know you're going to have to do, why not load up on weapons? Like, it to me, it's just an obvious play. You've got this dude who is, you know, a surgeon back there in the pocket. Why would you want to limit what kind of weapons you got? And then you also got to be thinking toward the future.
Yeah, and wide receivers just, I mean, heck, if you find someone like Tank Dell next year, maybe you let Nico walk. I'm not saying that's ideal, but if you find someone that performs at that level, and let's say he fills in nicely for Nico, maybe you let him walk, and maybe you have a cheap wide receiver. I just don't think, of all the positions, that's not the position that you ever eliminate wide receiver. It's always got to be somewhat of a possibility. And I think there's some scenarios in which could very well happen. Wouldn't quite sleep on it.
But even if you pay Nico, let's say you don't let Nico walk, you pay Nico. Are you going to pay Stephon Diggs again? Like, you're probably going to let at least one of those dudes walk, and then you're back to the same exact scenario next year as you were. Then now you could say, hey, we'll just draft a wide receiver next year, but why not already have one in-house, especially with this surplus of dudes that, you know, that really fit for you, that could probably fit for you. Like, to me, you got to think of both of it. Hey, I could lose one or both of these guys, Nico and Stephon Diggs, and then what are we talking about? So, like, to me, it's just as much about, hey, what if I let Nico walk? What if I let Stephon Diggs walk? Are we comfortable with just saying, hey, and obviously Noah Brown's going to be a free agent. Are we comfortable with just saying, hey, Nico and Tank got this? Or would you rather have some young talent? You got to think toward the future, man. This is a bigger play. I mean, this can help you this year and in the future. Whereas these other guys we're talking about are only guaranteed to you now.
Got to be proactive. For sure. I also wonder if perhaps the biggest move that the Texans could make, Landry Locker, B. Scott, Figgy Fig with you, could actually be after the draft. And once things kind of get shaped up, if we see the Texans revisit this safety market, and maybe then they go look at a Justin Simmons. After the draft is shaped up, when less teams need safeties, maybe we see the Texans kind of revisit that market after the fact. You see if there's a safety that's there that you like. If not, maybe you get back in that market. I could easily see a scenario where that happens, where they're back in the safety market, but you want to wait till after the draft before you make that move.
Yeah, which basically means, and this isn't exactly what you said, but that basically means you're already in the safety market. If you've got an eye toward it in the future, and, hey, maybe it says something to you that a player of Justin Simmons' caliber, for example, has not been signed, you know, since he was released. Like, maybe that's exactly the sweet spot, the right time to pull the plug on that or pull the trigger on that. And we can't ignore, we talked about this yesterday, I don't think we can ignore the question marks that you got at safety, you know? Like, Jimmy Ward, closer to our age than he is the rookies is coming in. You know, Jalen Petrie, we talked about that. So, yeah, no, I think that it's an obvious need, an obvious upgrade. I'm honestly shocked that they hadn't brought in Justin Simmons already. So I'll be looking for that.
Yeah, I think it's something to keep an eye on. I know Mark Schlereth talked to Sean about it, and they threw it out there. Nick Caserio speaking at 11. Coming up next, AFC South's most awkward reporter was in rare form yesterday. And it got me thinking, what are the scenarios in which something like this happens locally? We're going to get real messy here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
All right, so there was a awkward moment last year with the Indianapolis Colts. Shane Steichen, he was wearing the Crucial Catch hoodie that the NFL puts out. It's kind of a colorful one. It's talking about catching cancer early. And there was a reporter named Greg Doyle, who's, my gosh, I mean, this guy, a very self-important journalist. I guess he looked at the sweater and thought that it was a rainbow or something and thought that Shane Steichen was making some sort of statement. And this is what the back and forth between Greg Doyle and Shane Steichen sounded like.
Are you a hockey fan, and B, if you're trying to make a unspoken symbolic gesture, I'm ruining it for you by asking you what's with the sweatshirt.
What's that?
What's with the sweatshirt?
The sweatshirt? The cold sweatshirt?
Is that a rainbow?
Yeah, that's the Crucial Catch.
Oh, okay.
Got it, Greg.
All right, there you go. So that was a little bit awkward. I guess he was trying to tee Shane Steichen up. Not sure what was going on, but it kind of went under the radar a little bit.
That was him, and I'm not saying you need to be locked into the Crucial Catch initiative, but that was just him flat out being unprepared and ignorant. Like, the whole league was wearing that color. The whole league. For whatever week that
was. They actually advertised that.
Yeah.
They advertised on commercials, during the games, all that stuff.
It was what we would call a thing. So he looked like, not just slimeball-y, but kind of like just straight up dumb in that moment. Like, you look dumb.
Yeah, for sure.
In that moment.
Like, dog, do you watch the games? Do you watch sports?
Do you football, bro? Do you NFL, bro?
Then you had yesterday, and this was insane. And you know how you know when you're either thriving or you effed up? When the correct spelling of your name and incorrect spelling of your name are two of the top five trending topics in the country.
Ooh, yeah.
He spells it with two G's, G-R-E-G-G, Doyle.
Greg, ugh.
That was trending, and then Greg with one G was trending. That's when you know you did something awkward. And yesterday, Caitlin Clark, she was introduced to the Indianapolis media types after being the number one pick in the WNBA draft. And Greg Doyle, this is a low point even for him. And keep in mind, when he says that he's doing something, he's doing the heart that she does when she walks off the court after games, which we're about to learn is something that she does to her family as she's walking off the court. Here was Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Colts / reporter up there in Indy, breaking the internet yesterday.
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me and we'll be able to get along just fine. So.
Okay. As you can imagine, the reaction was pretty wild for Greg Doyle. He's got a history of very polarizing. It's kind of like the holier than thou journalistic approach. What?
What was going on there?
Dude. But that's the thing about it. He's supposed to have the holier-than-thou journalistic approach, but what's all of that sideshow commentary of giving her the hard? Like, it's what it clearly is, and I'm just not really thinking about it as we play the audio. That's really just a bunch of kiss-ass, let me be what he was trying to go for, and it ended up backfiring on him because, you know, obviously now it's a little bit of a controversy. But I think he was trying to endear himself to Caitlin Clark and be somebody. I do feel like people go to some of these press conferences and really want to stand out, like, hey, how can I tell this reporter's face from the next? Oh, they asked me that silly question or that really good question, whatever the case may be.
Try to start a joke or something.
Yeah, they want to stand out at the press conference and be somebody that, especially if it's somebody that you're just now initially meeting, want to be somebody that you remember the next time you see him. That's my guess of what he was going for, but yikes.
Then my man wrote a column about it and teased a column while all the smoke was going on. Yeah. And he wrote a column about this whole thing. Here, let me read you this column right here because it's kind of short. What are you shaking your head at, Fig?
I hate when people do this, man. That's so, like when somebody...
This is going for clicks.
Exactly. That's like when people have a viral tweet and then under it, follow my Instagram. Yeah. Oh, yeah, follow this. Oh, yeah, I make shirts, too.
Yeah, and then tweets. That follow-up tweet don't ever even have nothing to do with the actual...
Exactly.
So tell me if this is an acceptable apology. I'm devastated to realize I'm part of the problem. I screwed up Wednesday during my first interaction with number one overall pick Caitlin Clark with the Indiana Fever. What happened was the most me thing ever in one way. I'm sort of known locally, for having awkward conversations with people before asking brashly controversial questions. I've done this for years with Colts coaches Chuck Pagano, Frank Reich, and Shane Steichen. I've done it with Purdue players Carson Edwards and Zach Edey. I did it with IU's Romeo Langford, talking to them as people, not athletes. Notice something about all these names. They're all men. On one hand, yes, absolutely, male and female athletes should be treated the same. I'm talking about coverage, respect, compensation, terminology, you name it. Stories have been written about idiots who say or act otherwise. And then along comes a story about another insensitive man, which goes viral on media, and I decided to write about that idiot, me. What I've learned is that I need to be more aware about how I talk to people, not just athletes. I realized only after my exchange with Clark went viral and I navigated the first two stages of grief during discussion with the people that I care most about. So he went through grief here, okay?
Grief?
Yeah. Denial. One, I didn't do anything wrong. I gave Caitlin her signature heart-shaped hand gesture as a way of introducing myself and welcoming her to town. I did this during a nationally televised press conference. What kind of idiot acts creepy on television? Parentheses, me.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Number two, anger. This is how I talk to everyone. Had that been a male equivalent arriving to energize the team in town since I've been here, the closest thing Indianapolis had is quarterback Anthony Richardson. I'd have shown him a heart gesture and reiterated, I like that you were here. This is where I was convinced I was harmless and right when a woman I deeply respect told me, quote, but Caitlin Clark is a young woman and you don't have... talk to a young woman the same way you would a young man. And my heart dropped because now I saw it. After years of being so sure I was on the right side of these arguments, I was now on the wrong side. And for the oldest reason to man to woman, ignorance. You can say that's absurd. That's that I should have known better, and I do, but here we are. I was just doing what I do, talking to another athlete, another person, and didn't see the line. Didn't even know there was a line in the vicinity until I crossed it. In my haste to be clever, to be familiar and welcoming, or so I thought, I offended Caitlin and her family. After going through denial and anger, I'm on the wrong side of this. Question mark. I now realize what I said and how I said it was wrong. I mean, it was just wrong. Caitlin Clark, I'm sorry.
What?
This guy's weird, man. He's legit weird.
Weird doesn't even... Weird would be a compliment. Like, weird doesn't even begin to, like, you want to talk about being self-absorbed and self-involved? I don't know. I don't know if I know anybody like this. Who is this self-absorbed and self-involved?
Oh, they're digging up his tweets now. Some of the stuff that he said about a LeBron column that he put out. Some of the stuff that he said about Carson Wentz back when he was with the Colts. A lot of strange behavior here.
He embarrassed himself sociopath. And then wrote a column about himself. He's a narcissist.
You know what I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for the mental health claim in 2 weeks. It's dropping.
Well, he said he already told you that he went through grief.
It's dropping.
Oh, yeah, that's the breadcrumb.
Got to get my headspace right. It's coming.
That is the breadcrumb right there. But no, this is self-absorbed, self-involved,
wild.
Narcissistic, and weird would describe it too.
And then he's talking about they deserve fair. He's pandering there too. It's very disingenuous.
This man is either in his 40s or 50s and is just now learning, apparently yesterday or the day before, that you don't talk to men and women necessarily the same.
Do you?
Is he new?
Could you see any scenarios like this playing out locally?
The beginning of it.
Not as bad, but just the awkwardness.
The awkwardness in the beginning of it, absolutely. But there wouldn't be no follow-up column and all of this extra stuff. There wouldn't be any of that. But could I see, and I don't even think it would be sexist either, but could I see somebody trying to do something like that that would be endearing to a new star athlete and as a way to stand out at a press conference? 100%. I just don't think that this person is a narcissist and is as self-absorbed as Greg Doyle clearly is.
What, you talking about McClain with Amy Adams Stank or
nope,
something?
Nope. Okay. But that's a good candidate. That's a good candidate. Hey, can I give you a hint? He's got the same first name but spells it properly as this guy.
Okay. Greg? Oh, okay. Who knows? Let's hear from Nick Caserio. He spells his name correctly. Nick Caserio, we're 1 week away from the draft. Let's hear what the GM of the Houston Texans has to say, and perhaps he will give us some clues. We're going to hear from Nick Caserio 1 week away from the draft next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.